telling these tears, go and fall away, fall away. Oh, may the last one burn into flames. Freedom, freedom, I came away.
Oh, what is up, Wisconsin? And beyond. Welcome, everybody. Happy, balmy, summer-like Tuesday afternoon. I am Maggie Dawn, host of The Maggie Dawn Show. Joined today, really excited to have producer Jess in the booth with me. Thanks for being here, Jess.
My pleasure. Glad to see you, Mags.
Really excited to have you here because we're going to talk about something that it's nice to have another female voice with me about. We're going to get to that in this first half hour. But folks, I got to tell you about the whole show because, you know, we always pack it in here on the Maggie Dawn Show. So Jess going to be with me the whole show. Really excited to have her with me. Then we got Chef Adam Pavlak for Yes Chef in the 2:30 hour. We're going to talk about what are the obstacles to cooking at home. I have that. You know, if you're a working person, hamburger helper's there, but man, that does not pack the nutritional punch that we all need. So we're going to talk to Chef Adam about that. And an extension of that, which is, what are good hosting hacks? You want to have people over? How do you get that done without losing your mind? Especially with the holiday season sort of approach.
Timely.
Yes. So that's all coming up in the 2:30 half hour with Chef Adam Pavlak at 3 o'clock. Of course, it is Maggie and the Millionaires Talking Money. Really excited, building on yesterday's show. We've got Amber Wallen. She is the executive director of the State Revenue Alliance. She is here because today and tomorrow, the Fair Share tax fight for 2025 kicks off. There's been some coverage in Politico. This is a big deal. Amber's going to be joining me at the top of the 3 o'clock hour. And folks, I saved this topic for today because I knew I was going to be joined by one of Civic Media's aces. Dom Salvia is going to join me a little early. He is host of the Dom Salvia Show, which follows mine every day from 4 to 6 p.m. across the Civic Media Network. But Dom's going to join me at 3:30 because I want to talk about the lurker in the golf course bushes. Okay, I'm not going to call it an assassination attempt because he didn't actually shoot any.
It was a lurker.
He was a lurker. And we're going to talk about that in its most fulsome sense with Dominic this afternoon. Folks, I didn't talk about it yesterday because I had to recombobulate myself a bit. And that's because this is a very scary time. And I wanted to let some more news develop, hear some additional facts about what was going on. Dom and I want to hear from you this afternoon. Again, that's going to be at 3:30. But when I talk about these things, I don't like to do that on a flyer, especially when it's stuff that is this important, Jess, and everybody listening out there. So if you were a little bit disappointed, Maggie, why the heck weren't you talking about the lurker in the golf course? That's why. I like to gather my thoughts. So
radical and extreme and unprecedented.
I do talk radio, but sometimes we don't like to just let it fly. I certainly don't like to let it fly when the topic is something so important as the potential for political violence and what your responsibility is, what my responsibility, Jess is, everybody, because we're all part of this political system. Whether or not you vote or not, you're part of the political system. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to spend some time with Dom Salvia at 3:30 today. If you have thoughts or comments, questions, again, we're going to do that at 3:30 today. Also, before we get going, another piece of business. I have always been a radio contest fan. I used to call in when I was a kid. I used to listen to a lot of radio when I was growing up, and I was one of those callers trying to be caller 14 or caller 100.
Oh, I bet you were fast with it.
I had some dialing techniques down. That is damn sure. Definitely tried to win some NKOTB tickets back in the day.
Any success?
No, I never. I was tragic. Never a winner. But folks, you can be a winner in Civic Media's statewide text to win contest, which is go for the green or gold. It won't happen in these 2 hours, but once Dom gets on the airwaves at 4 o'clock, there's going to be a code word. You're going to want to have downloaded the Civic Media app for free from your favorite app store. Dom will drop that code word. You text it in using the app. You're going to be qualified to win $100 or some gold jewelry and be entered to win. We give away one of those prizes each hour. And then if you text in during that hour, you will also be entered to win our grand prize, which is a pair of indoor club level tickets to see the old green and gold in Green Bay Monday, December 23rd against New Orleans. Quite a nice little holiday surprise for you and a guest.
Oh, for sure.
Right?
Yeah.
Loving that. Wish I could call in. I will not be. But you can not call in, text in. You can text in. Dom will have that code word for you in the 4 o'clock hour. So go ahead and get yourself ready. Download that app. But what I wanted to start today with, again, something that has been percolating. And I didn't want to just roll into this topic. Many of you, if you listen to the show regularly, I'm a little bit of a sports fan. Not all sports equally.
You are?
Just a wee. I think I detect a note of sarcasm from producer Jess. But there was this incredible sort of shocking thing that happened before the season opener. And that is that the police detained and handcuffed Tyreek Hill. I believe he is a wide receiver for the Miami Dolphins. And they detained him on his way to the season opener. And it was over traffic violation. It was speeding, it looked like. At least that's what the accounts are. Now, I have gotten a speeding ticket. Have you ever gotten one?
I haven't.
Oh, Jess is a much more responsible driver.
Yeah.
I bet many of you out there have gotten a speeding ticket. If you have gotten a speeding ticket, and maybe even a speeding ticket where you're going like 15 plus, right?
Mm-hmm.
So like,
mm-hmm.
You speeding. There's no argument about it. I can say I've probably gotten four of these. I'm 47 years old. So over 30 years of driving, I mean, 4 or 5 speeding tickets in toto. And some of them have been real speeding tickets.
That foot was a little leaden.
Yes, little leaded foot. I have never been handcuffed or put to the ground because I was speeding or rolled. Well, I can't say it about rolling a stop sign. I did end up handcuffed and turned out that was probably because I was with 5 black girls that I played high school basketball with. But this leads to my point. If you're a white person and you're listening and you've gotten a speeding ticket, have you ever been handcuffed and slammed to the ground? 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Because that's what happened to NFL Miami Dolphins wide receiver Tyreek Hill. And what is interesting about this case is it's, in my opinion, not just yet another sad example of police acting in a very aggressive manner over what should be a routine traffic stop when it involves a black man. It's not just another example of that. I think that there is a little bit more to this story because Tyreek Hill, if you are a police reform advocate, and I want to distinguish between that and folks that advocate for defunding the police. I think that's, frankly, a stupid perspective. But if you believe that there is a social contract between police and the communities that they serve, and that at times we have seen direct evidence of a breaking of the trust that underlies that relationship, what we're confronted with in this example of what happened to Mr. Hill is that the folks that bear the brunt of that breach of trust aren't always perfect actors. I was not a perfect actor. I was driving 15 plus and a few of my tickets. And Mr. Hill is no shining white knight. He has a checkered history. I'm going to talk a little bit about that. And I'm going to talk about the fact that we need to start to get to a place where we do not require people to act perfectly in their encounters with police in order to demand the best of police. That it shouldn't, whether or not police treat you with respect, whether or not they aggressively lay hands on you, should not demand a perfect protagonist. That we shouldn't be asking Black folks that you must behave perfectly and deferentially and with absolute total iotas of all of the respect. And if you get it at all wrong, then cops can do whatever they want. That is a false polemic. It is a false choice, and it does not reflect the realities of today. And I think there is another headline that was breaking last night and this morning that makes that point as well, also from a completely different angle. We're going to talk about all of that. We're going to listen to what Mr. Hill had to say about his detention. When we come back, his handcuffing for speeding. Have you been caught speeding? Maybe speeding ridiculously. 15 plus, 20 plus over the limit. And especially if you're a white folk, have you ever been handcuffed and slammed to the ground because you were speeding a lot? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. We're going to listen to Mr. Hill, and I'm going to bring this full circle because we see this breach of trust between community and police in another version very frequently. And I think it's time that we accept that the people that have these difficult encounters with police aren't perfect. And that does not mean that their rights and their dignity and the respect that they're owed goes out the window. I'm Maggie Donge. She is producer Jess. It's a special edition of the Maggie Donge Show here on this summery Tuesday. Keep it locked, folks. You are listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. We're going to take care of some business, and we'll be right back.
Follow away, oh, may the last one burn into flame. Keep on running, cause the winner don't quit on themselves.
One. Talking in my sleep at night, making myself crazy.
Oh, welcome back, Wisconsin and beyond. Welcome if you're just joining us. My name's Maggie Donge. You're listening to The Maggie Donge Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network, joined today by producer Jess in the booth. We're kicking off the show talking about the detention of Miami Dolphins wide receiver Tyreek Hill for speeding. He ended up handcuffed and slammed to the ground. If you haven't seen the body cam footage, it's worth a look. Because it is disturbing. Mm-hmm. Let's listen just very briefly to some of the comments. We're going to listen to cut 1-1.
For sure.
This is Tyreek Hill in the post-game press conference after the season opener.
Not everybody has the same resources as Tyreek Hill. Not everybody has the name Tyreek Hill or not able to call a Drew Brooks or Drew Rosenhaus. Something like that, man. So I'm really like unfazed to it. You feel me? You know. So that's why I was able to go out and play the way I did, cause I'm numb to it. You know, it's kind of expected. So.
Wow. Let's take a cut 1.2 as well.
I don't have a message for him yet, but I'm sure I will. So ask me that question again next week sometime. So I'm pretty sure I will. Because right now, I'm in the process of, you know, putting together a good plan so that way I can work with those guys. Because I think it's good, man. I think we should lean on each other, you know. Like, we have influence on the community. And I don't think that we should, you know, use this as a moment to, you know, separate, you know, people or divide people or, you know, make it a battle or anything like that, man. Because I still love cops, you know. I want to be a cop. I've been standing on the table for the cops, man. But at the end of the day, right now what I'm focused on is my job, and that's to play football.
There's so much deep stuff in there the point that I want to make to y'all, and I got to give credit where it's due, I was inspired by a column written by Candace Buckner in the Washington Post. Tyreek Hill has pleaded guilty years ago to punching and choking his pregnant girlfriend. He has had many encounters with police departments in various jurisdictions and across state lines. And here's what. Tyreek Hill deserved better. Racially charged police violence is unacceptable. And we got to start getting real with one another and with police and with police unions about the fact that simply because somebody's got a bad attitude or doesn't roll the window down or has a record does not deprive them of their civil rights and does not entitle police to engage in the sort of violence that is evident off these body cam videos and bystander videos. And here's the link to what broke last night and this morning. Sean Combs, P. Diddy, Puff Daddy, whatever the heck his name is, has been known for decades to engage in intimidation and violence. He has been credibly accused, backed up by video evidence by one of his exes, of beating the crap out of her, which he denied repeatedly, basically called her a gold digger. And then the tape came out showing that he beat the crap out of Cassie in a hotel hallway. Here's the link. Women that suffer repeatedly at the hands of their partners, domestic violence, are often also brushed off, disrespected, and talked smack about by cops. As if they don't deserve the protection the police swear an oath to provide to community. What's the linkage here? It is, I don't know, is it cultural disrespect of certain people? That is this taught? Is this inherited? Is this culture amongst police inherited? And we have evidence of this disrespect shown victims of domestic violence. We're just going to take one cut of this. If y'all have forgotten, Bobby Lou Scheffling was killed, shot to death by her abuser. And she had repeatedly reported this guy to Milwaukee police. And 10 days before she was shot, on July 15th, 2023, she went into the District 3 police station to get bruises on her face, kids in tow, and her sister or her friend, I cannot remember, with her to again report an incident of violent abuse. And she was effectively blown off. Let's listen to cut 2.1 because I think it says just quite enough.
So what do you think is going to happen this time?
I don't know. That's what I'm saying. It's like you guys can never catch him. That's why.
Well, if we catch him and then he goes down and you don't show up, he gets released. So that's why I'm saying what kind of outcome do you expect today? I mean, catch him again, you don't show up, he gets released. You just keep doing this cycle. You know what I mean?
Cops in that district, there were about three or four of them, went on to say, this is on you, to Miss Scheffling. They ended up saying, it's your fault. And they called her the B word and the C word. And she was shot and killed 10 days later. The link between these two is domestic violence victims often don't show up as perfect people. That doesn't absolve police of their obligations to community. Do you have an experience you want to share? 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Dave from Chicago, please share your experience with us.
Oh, hey. So I had an experience a while, long time ago. I got was pulled over by a cop in a small town in northern Illinois. I was taking my young son and my girlfriend's young daughters to the library, and I got... I think I was making a turn on red when I wasn't supposed to be making a turn on red. And also, I didn't have my, at the time, Illinois drivers were required to have air pollution test stickers on their windshield. Mine was in my glove compartment. I had not put it on yet. So after he questioned me about where I was going and you know, why didn't I have my sticker on my window, he asked me to get out of the car. So I got out of the car, and he started speaking angrily to me. And I have to say, it was, you know, I was trying to remain calm, but it seemed like it was, and I'm a Mexican-American, and it seemed a little bit unfair the way I was being treated. He put me in handcuffs, had another squad car come and take my son and my girlfriend's daughters back to her house. Mm.
Dave, do you think police owe us all better?
Most definitely they do.
Yeah, thanks so much for sharing. That's Dave from Chicago. These stories are innumerable. We all deserve better. And the way that police treat, quote, the least of us in these moments reflects on all of us. We deserve better. Mr. Hill deserved better, and Ms. Scheffling deserved better. She ended up dead. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We're going to turn the page, have some lighter content when we come back after the bottom of the hour. I'm going to be joined by Chef Adam Pavlak for Yes, Chef. We're going to talk about obstacles to cooking at home. Keep it locked. We're back in just a moment. I'm a bad, bad girl, but I try not to be in the kitchen, especially when I can learn from incredible food experts like my next guest. Folks, I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. And my next guest for our Tuesday 2:30 segment of Yes, Chef is Chef Adam Pavlak. You can find Adam and I here on Tuesdays at every 2:30. Mark your calendars. Welcome back, Adam. Great to have you.
Thanks for having me. This is always a great segment. We always talk about good things, which I like, you know, stay positive.
Absolutely. Plus, I think everybody needs a little relief from all the politics of the day, and nothing better to talk about than food. We are a food centric culture. But Adam, you and I were chatting a little bit earlier today, and I always find it a big challenge, and I think many of you do as well, to find the time to cook at home. Especially if you are working every day. There are so many obstacles to cooking at home. You know a little bit about this. You've thought about this. Folks, if you have obstacles to cooking at home, give Chef Adam and I a call. We'll talk about them. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Adam and I are here to help you solve your how do you get it done without resorting to the hamburger helper, heaven forbid, right?
And maybe Hamburger Helper is part of the meal, but we're gonna upgrade that for you. I would say it will keep you away from rolling through, you know, the fast food spots all the time or thinking that that's the only option.
I have to admit, like, in desperation, I have hit up the fast food. It, you know, I can get full and it's fast and it's relatively inexpensive, but I know it ain't good for me. It's interesting. Yeah. We were talking about the Hamburger Helper. What are some of the workarounds, Adam, for when listeners and people out there, I know you all have challenges to getting a nice hot meal on the table for you and your family. What are some of the workarounds, Adam, or common obstacles that you hear people talking about when it comes to home cooking?
Sure. So number one thing is people don't like to do dishes, which I totally understand. And I get that, which doesn't mean that you can't do one pot dishes, depending on how many people you're cooking for, or doing something that you can throw in the oven. Let's say you're doing roast proteins and roasted veggies or something like that, or something that you can get done in one pan so that you only have one to clean when you're all done. And when you're at home with your family, just remember, it's not the worst if you're not worrying about, you know, fancy plate and all that to serve on, you know, disposables or something like that, or make your meal hands, you know, eat with your hands and you have a few napkins or something. That's also something fun where it's like family style, where you can put something on a platter and everyone just kind of digs in around it. But I would say the number one thing is people don't want to do dishes.
Oh, I hate dishes. I grew up in a house. We didn't have a dishwasher. I was the dishwasher, right? Like that was my job. And my mom was a home cook, right? So there was a lot of dishes, and all my buddies in the hood knew that they had to come over, help me get the dishes done before I could go out to play, right? So I also became an expert in the architecture of these stacked, the Leaning Tower of Pisa of dishes. That is a big one. One of my quick fixes for that is I love a crock pot. You can get your veggies, your protein, and some of your starches, if that's your jam, into the crock pot. Crock pots these days are nonstick. They clean, at least somewhat nonstick. They clean up pretty easily.
They make it easy for you.
Yeah. What do you have some favorite crock pot recipes or what's the basics of it? Because I change it up all the time, Chef.
So I don't use a crock pot as often as I think, like, you know, the normal person that's just at the home cook. But one thing I will say, since we are getting into this time, is everyone knows that it is almost soup season. And I guess for me, it's always soup season because it depends on what you're making. But I consider the soup, making a big pot of soup is also that one.
Oh, Adam, you cut out my...
A lot of meat and veggies and protein.
Yeah, Adam, we're going to come back. Why don't you give us a call in? You just broke up for a second, and I want to be sure people hear these great tips. Adam, give us a call. I just put it in the chat for you, 855-752-4842. Adam's talking about, we're coming up on soup season. That is one of my favorite things to do, because if I've got, say, 2 or 3 hours on, like, a Sunday, I can knock out the soup, and then I've got meals for a couple of days, right? I can freeze it. I usually make an absolute huge, huge amount of soup, and I'll cheat it a little bit, Chef Adam. Personally, my hack on soup is I'm not making my own broth. I'm buying the broth in the grocery store. That gets me going on the soup very, very easily. What's your basic approach to soup, Chef Adam? Is it okay? Is it an okay hack to go ahead and buy the broth in the store? Is that all right?
I think if you're cooking at home, buying broth in the store is great, actually. Just get a high-quality one, especially if you're going to be using it as the base of your soup.
Yes.
Definitely. And it's also fun to make a bunch, too, if you really want to, is save your scraps. You know, save your scraps in, like, a big Ziploc bag. This is not one of those hacks, and keep it in your refrigerator. And then when you feel like you have a big, you know, gallon Ziploc bag packed and full, throw it in a pot with some water and let it go. And then you can either strain that off, or you can hold it and you can freeze it and then use it a little bit at a time.
Yeah, so when you say scraps... Yeah, when you say scraps, do you mean like bone scraps, leftover meat scraps, veggie scraps, all the above, right?
Sure, I would say all the above. I would keep the meat separate from your veggies, obviously. But yep. Yeah, if you want to do that, you know, like when you're cutting up an onion, you got the ends, or, you know, everyone wants to cut the celery end off and get the fancy part, you know, keeping that, or carrots, or if you're peeling something, that's really good too. No matter what it is, just keep that sealed in your refrigerator and then use that. I've even seen people use their broth and put it into like ice cube trays and freeze it. So you can really just use small amounts at a time if you want to.
Yeah, that is hugely helpful. Even just to juice up, you know, a dry protein, you drop that in the pan with it, and all of a sudden you got good natural broth going. So let me ask you a different question about the soup. I am too lazy to strain my soup. Now, if I'm using scraps to make a broth, you got to strain it because you don't want the leftover bits in your soup. But is straining soup, if you're using a store-bought broth, is straining a soup necessary?
Depending on what you are, like what you're doing with it, I would say something that's really cool that I think people could get behind, especially if they want to cook more at home or soups in general, is getting one of those hand immersion blenders. You could probably get one from like Amazon or from Target, one of these stores, you know. You plug it in, And then whatever is in your soup, whether as long as it's not like protein of bones or something, if it's something soft that's been cooking for a while, you stick that immersion blender stick right in there and blend it up, and that'll actually enhance and get that flavor into your soup even better. So if you're not a strainer person, you just want to deal with it, you can get everything in there that you want and then just blend it up with that stick blender. You don't even have to worry about pouring it off into a blender or anything. And the top exploded. You just put the stick blender in there, pulse it up to whatever consistency, depending on the soup. I like to leave it not completely smooth sometimes, or if I'm going to do it, I get it completely smooth again.
Yeah, I have to say, I have blown the top off of a stand-up blender a couple of times trying to make, you know, like cream of types of soups. Watch out, folks. Don't do that one. Adam, I think you have just landed on one of...
Give them the blender hack.
Yes.
Yeah, when you're using a blender, take the little circle off over the top where people can pour things in, and then just use a towel and leave a little bit of space, because what happens is it gets so hot inside of that canister for your blender that it builds up, and then it wants to explode. So just make sure that it has steam coming out of your blender top so that you have somewhere for the heat to go, and that will not happen. But I've definitely seen that and have done that in my career.
Yeah, it's not fun. I had some light burns. It's just like putting something in the microwave with a lid firmly sealed on it. It'll blow the top off of it. And Adam, you hit on one of the greatest quick cooking hacks I have ever come across, and that is the stick blender, the immersion blender. For soups, you do it right in the pot. You're cooking it in. You rinse the blender off. It's super easy. I love those things. And they have all kinds of, you don't have to buy the top of the wine. You buy a functional one that's decently rated on Amazon. We've got a question from one of our listeners. Kurt from Madison asks Chef Adam, when do you buy a stock versus a broth?
Okay, so, I mean, with the stock, that's going to be something a little bit more intense flavor, and I would use stock more so for soups or like a sauce or something that you're going to directly do. When you're using a broth, I like to use the broth more so for braising something or getting more flavor into it, because you're going to see it's going to be a little bit lighter. And also, one tip to buying stocks, broth, stuff like that, is always read the back and try to get the stuff that is as pure as possible, the stuff that has the least amount of ingredients in it, and low sodium, because you can always add your own salt content to that, especially with soups or broths or stuff like that. So try to get it as clean as possible, or talk to your butcher. The best way, I would say, is making your own, is just getting some butcher bones or scraps or something that they might be able to even give you for free.
Yep.
And then you just, like I said, throw that in a pot, brown that, put water over it, and let that go for, you know, 2 to 6 hours, and you're good to go.
Yeah, I think I have always been of the buy the low-sodium broth or stock. Chef Adam affirming that, because you can always add salt. You can't take it away, folks. We've got another listener texting in with one of his tips. I wanted to get your reaction to this, Adam. Scott from Shorewood texting in that he likes to add just a smidge of gelatin to clear soups to improve mouthfeel. I have never heard that one before. Is that a thing, Chef Adam?
Yeah, so I like that. What I would say, what I'm used to, and what people can do as well, is the gelatin naturally comes out of proteins, right?
Yes.
Especially when there's a lot of fat. So let's say you cook a bunch of chicken feet or chicken bones, something like that, and you're only wanting a clear soup, you're going to have that mouthfeel on there where it's kind of almost coating your mouth or your tongue or the roof of your mouth, where you really feel that. And it's a different feeling than something that's just really oily and fat. I think we all know that difference.
Yes.
Where you're like, wow, like that needs to go, compared to just giving the clear broth or soup some body to it.
Yeah.
So I like that. I would just say that the best way to go about that is that natural way of doing that. And that would just be imparting that protein and that fat that's in there, which just means you can cook it a little bit longer. But if you're going to cook it a little shorter, I like that. That's a good little tip there.
I love it. Folks, you're listening to Chef Adam Pavlok, owner and operator of Egg and Flour. He joins me every Tuesday at 2:30. We're talking about obstacles to cooking at home today. What obstacles have you confronted? What are some of your solutions? 855-752-4842. we kind of glazed over it, pun intended there, Chef, but we were talking about crockpot. We're talking about crockpot cooking. We're going to take care of a couple of messages here in about 2 minutes, but I wanted to ask you, Chef Adam, it is crockpot cooking is really easy, is it not? What are the basic building blocks if somebody wants to throw some protein, veg, and starch into a crockpot? Is there any magic to it?
I think most important thing with that is add all your seasonings at the end as well, because you don't know what's going to happen that time, especially when people set the crockpot and then they go to work and come back and want that meal. But just make sure that you're seasoning at the end. Make sure that there's enough liquid in there. So that your food that's in the crock pot isn't burning up or drying out, because it's a long period of time. And don't be scared of the low and slow setting. Everything doesn't have to be set on high.
Yeah, the thing I like most about crock pot cooking is you can use those cheaper cuts of meat that tend to be tougher because it is going to cook so low and so slow. Folks, if you've got a cooking at home obstacle, you got a great hack for that, call us up or text on in 855-752-4842. We're going to take care of some business here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network and come back with Chef Adam after these brief messages. Keep it locked. In a crock pot, low and slow, there's got to be control. That's my music intro joke for the half hour, folks. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. If it is Tuesday and in the 2:30 half hour, you're going to be hearing me and Chef Adam Pavlak, owner and operator of Egg and Flour in the View of the Bay, Bayview in the Milwaukee area. Chef Adam and I breaking down with producer Jess today obstacles to cooking at home and workarounds. Folks, if you have obstacles you'd like to hear some ideas on, or you have workarounds of your own, 855-752-4842. Adam, we've got one of our regular callers, Mark from Prairie du Sac, that has he's done some switching up of the cooking tools of late and says he actually enjoys doing dishes. Mark, say hello to Adam. What is your workaround for good cooking at home?
Adam. Well, good cooking. I just switched over to carbon steel pans and for my sautéing and frying, and they turn out they're practically nonstick. They're almost equal to the nonstick pans I have, and with some of the concerns about the PFAS and the nonstick, you know, maybe that's the way to go. And you know, my mom got me cooking quite young. I mean, and there's I was getting to the season, I'll throw a couple of ham shanks and or bones in a crock pot along with a cup of beans and some water and maybe a whole onion, and a few hours later it'll be bean soup. It's, you know, cooking isn't that tough. You just can't be intimidated by it and just go to it. I mean, my mom taught me young, and then I've liked to cook my entire life.
Thanks so much, Mark, for listening and calling in. Adam, do you have a preference on pans that sort of make it easier for the home cook? Some advice on that point.
I will say my number one pan for the home cook is the cast iron. You can do so much in there, and when it comes down to it, for cleaning, let's say you only use water on your cast iron. If for some reason it's not coming up or you can't get it, you put like an inch or two of water in there, put it on the stove, boil it away. It should be able to pour right off, and you wipe it out. So cast iron is great. And then having a really nice, thick pot for, you know, everything from boiling water to making that soup to making that long, you know, 8-hour bolognese, if you're going to get adventurous with that, you know, thicker the pan, the more it distributes the heat evenly and the less chances of scorching your food.
Yeah, you said the thicker the pan, the higher the odds that it's going to cook your food evenly and not scorch it. That is so important. And there's people can spend a gosh near fortune on pans. As it turns out, there's a, you know, you don't have to empty your entire pocketbook to get a decent pan. I like a big wide pan, pot when I'm doing soups because I like more of the heat distributed. So it doesn't have to move up so much height to get the entire soup going.
Definitely.
Those are my favorite. The wide dogs are what I like for the soup.
Even like the Dutch ovens are really good, you know?
Yes.
Where it's just like really thick. It's usually an oval, and it's not tall enough where when you do use that stick blender, you're not worrying about getting the whole thing stuck in there.
Yes. And you also mentioned those cast iron pans. I think if there's one thing that if you're a college student or you're just starting out or you haven't been a big cook, go get yourself a decent cast iron pan because the cleaning is so easy. I don't think I've had so... Do not put your cast iron pan in soapy water. Don't do that. It's not good. Don't do that.
No dishwasher. It's just because it soaks up that. You know, that's why. You know, it'll take on whatever you put into it. But after, you know, you boil that water, like we were saying, or you clean your cast iron, put a little bit of oil on a paper towel, rub it on there, and it'll be re-seasoned and good to go.
You heard that. It's from Chef Adam Pavlak, owner and operator of Egg and Flour. We're talking today, and if we don't get to hosting hacks, folks, don't worry. Adam will be back next week, Tuesday at 2:30. He'll be with me every Tuesday at 2:30 talking about cooking and food and restaurants and all these things that we here in Wisconsin, it's just, pardon the pun, baked into our culture, if you will. Thank you, Jess, for laughing at my puns. I'm big on the puns. We've got another caller, Adam, Karina from Milwaukee. You have a comment on cooking, and Adam, I just accidentally dropped you. Please give us a call back. We'll get you back on. Karina, what were your comments this afternoon?
No, I can hear you. I can hear you.
Great.
You didn't drop me.
Go ahead.
I don't think you did.
Go ahead, Karina.
Hi. So, very quick, there is such a thing in my family. We called it lazy lasagna. So, you basically take the, you know, beef ground. You have to boil the pasta, and the best way is to have that pasta would have like a spiral thing on it. So you boil the pasta, you have a fresh ground beef, you just mix all that together in the pan, and add red tomato sauce and the cheese you like, and swirl it again, and just put it in the oven. Gonna have a lazy.
I love it, Karina. It's listen. You don't need to buy Hamburger Helper, do you, Adam? Because you basically have all those things probably in your pantry, a little noodle or starch and your ground beef, and off you go, right?
Yes, and your seasonings.
Absolutely. Folks, this is Adam Pavlak. I'm Maggie Dawn. We're talking about how to get around obstacles to home cooking. Adam, we're coming up on the end of our time together for this Tuesday. You can find Adam and I every Tuesday at 2:30 in this special segment we call Yes, Chef. As we run out of time this afternoon, Adam, what are your last one or two tips for folks struggling to cook at home?
All right, so what I would say is cook in bulk, you know, and worry about, you know, getting multiple meals out of one-time cooking so that you're cooking less amount of time, but you're getting more meals out of it. And then what I would say, too, is don't be scared of getting fresh ingredients in there, like fresh herbs, fresh produce, and a little bit of acidity. So always have lemon, limes, oranges available, little squeezes of that juice onto your protein or your vegetables, and adding some fresh herbs into the mix will always make your food taste better, and it's inexpensive at the grocery store.
Cook in bulk, don't be afraid of fresh herbs, and don't forget the acid. Thank you so much, Chef Adam. He'll be back next week. I think we've got our topic sorted out. We'll talk about hosting hacks next week with Chef Adam. You have a great week, sir. Folks, when we come back here on the Maggie Dawn Show, it is time at the 3 o'clock hour for Maggie and the Millionaires Talking Money. We're going to talk about the fair share tax fight. working up for 2025. Keep it locked here on the Civic Media Radio Network.